It seems to be perfectly clear that you were on a break.
Yeah, well, we tried. You're listening to the Action Figure Blues podcast, episode number 256 for the week of Wednesday, the 18th of January, 2017. I'm Scott.
And I'm Eddie. This episode is brought to you by Mike's Comics and Stuff, Davy Boy Toys, and ActionFigureBlues.com. Tonight, our toys of the week are the DC Collectibles DC Icons, Batgirl of Burnside, and the Darkseid and Grail 2-pack deluxe set, and the Revoltech Amazing Yamaguchi Deadpool.
Now, come along and take your little toys.
You are a toy! You weren't a real Buzz Lightyear, you were... Now you're an action figure! You are a child!
Eddie, how are you?
I'm very good, Mr. Scott. It's been far too long since we last chatted.
Yeah, it's been at least a fortnight.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, good. So, yeah, we're not doing great at this having a break thing. You know, I think just the freedom of not having to do the big weekly show every week has made us enthusiastic to do things, which is good. So here's another show for you, although it's just some reviews, not the whole shebang. And I don't know, maybe the whole shebang, maybe this will become the whole shebang. Who knows? Mm. Yeah, we're evolving.
Yeah.
But anyway, what's been happening with you? We might as well catch up while we're chatting. How have you been?
I've been good. This is the busy time of year for me, so it's more work than even usual, but I had some fun in between, celebrated another revolution around the sun, as Ben would say,
yes.
And saw a film that you recommended to me, which was Sing, which actually was a very great film, and I did get a bit teary-eyed.
Oh,
near the
did
end.
You? Oh, yeah. Me too. I know.
Any of that father-son story stuff always makes in a bit, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, big recommend.
I love that movie. I actually don't think it is a fantastic little kids movie. Because when we went to see it during the day, there were some little kids there that basically rioted because I think it was a bit too slow for them at some points. But I think it's a fantastic, like, young teens, adult, you know, family movie. And I adored it. Absolutely adored it. Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Good. What about yourself?
Yeah, good. I've had a really good holiday. This is my first full week back at work, and I am traveling. I always end up in wherever it's hottest in Australia. I think so. I'm in Queensland right now where it's melting. But this is the first kind of trip away for the year. And also this is a new year where the trips are going to be slightly less frequent, which is really exciting. All going well. My eldest just turned 16 and got her learner's driver's license, which is just insane. She's still a little tiny baby in my eyes. So, but I mean, she's more responsible than anybody else I know. She'll be fine. But just this kind of weird, milestone things, you know, where you're like, oh my gosh, we have a 16-year-old. Good grief.
Yeah.
Like, but she's an awesome human being, so that is good.
Congrats, Miss 16.
Yay. So we're going to do two different toy breakdowns, I guess, in this show because we happen to have similar tastes in toys. And so Eddie and I both have a few things that we thought we would sit down and review, and we're going to do it in two batches. And first of all, we're going to look at some of the latest releases from the DC Collectibles DC Icons line. Eddie and I have both really been enjoying collecting these, and we reviewed everything that's come out so far. We're having a break from single figure releases, and around Christmas time we had some deluxe releases, which were the Batgirl of Burnside, which is Batgirl and her Bat Cycle, I guess, I don't know.
Yep.
And then the Darkseid and Grail 2-pack deluxe set. So let's start with Batgirl. And I am a huge Barbara Gordon Batgirl fan. Anyone that's listened to the show would know that. I've been very slow to adopt, come to terms with Batgirl of Burnside just because I felt like when it started, I was really enjoying the New 52 Batgirl that Gail Simone was doing. And then when Batgirl of Burnside came and kind of threw it all away and turned her into what looked like a 13-year-old, and I just didn't get it and didn't like it. But I really like the design. Yeah, I do like this figure. How did you end up getting this, Eddie? Was this a planned purchase or a spontaneous purchase?
This was one that I'd planned. I had this pre-ordered at All-Star Comics for a while before it came in, because being a deluxe one, I wasn't too sure how this was going to ship or turn up at stores. Sometimes it's a bit of a gamble. So
yeah,
knew I really wanted it, so just had it on lockdown. What about yourself?
Well, I have two of these. Because I know, I like spontaneous bought one the first time I saw it at a really good price, I have to say, actually up here in Brisbane at Comics, etc. And then, but I do have a standing order for these at All-Star Comics. And, you know, it's just sometimes the enthusiasm of, ooh, gets you. And then you think, damn it, I'm going to get another one of these. And I could probably say to All-Star, oh, thanks, I already got one, but I feel bad because they set them aside for me. And so I thought, well, I'll see whether or not I would care to have one in a riding pose and one in a standing pose. And if not, I'll just sell one. So, yeah, so I have two.
Very cool. I would be tempted to do that if I ended up with two, I got to say.
Well, we'll get to the posing in a moment, but I would have to be a bit more convinced that the riding pose actually really works before I did that. But, you know, I'm terrible at posing toys, so it's probably just me. So this deluxe set comes with the Batgirl figure herself, comes with then the motorcycle with a base that I think you have to display on it on. It doesn't stand up on its own, does it?
No.
Oh, good. That's not just me. And then she comes with a different head sculpt and cape for the riding pose where the hair is flowing and the cape is flowing. Four extra hands, so six hands all up, a grapple gun, and a – is it a communicator or just an iPhone?
Smartphone, yeah.
A smartphone, yeah. Cool.
Yep.
Awesome. Very cool. And very very small, lots of small parts in these. So thankfully the packaging is collector friendly, so you can leave what you want in the box for fear of losing.
Yeah.
So paint and sculpt wise, how did your figure turn out?
Mine is actually probably on the better end of icons. So icons are usually fairly good with paint, but every now and then you get a little bit of splotching or whatnot going on. And I can't really fault mine at all, except for the color choice on the eyebrows is the big detractor for me paint-wise. But I actually love the color choice of purple. The yellow is definitely that sort of 60s Batman yellow going on. It doesn't match perfectly where the swappable hands meet the end of the glove on the arm.
Yeah.
But it's not too bad. It's I've seen much worse examples.
For sure.
Of that.
It's one of those scenarios, I think, where the cuffs of the glove, which are sculpted on the on her wrist, are actually cast in purple and then painted yellow. And then the hands are cast in yellow. So, and yellow, of course, is notorious for being hard to paint. And there is a little bit of bleed there, I think.
Yeah, but considering that they're matching with cast yellow, the rubber yellow belt, the black cape that's then painted yellow, the yellow on the band on her leg that goes over purple, and
black paint. They've done fairly well in terms of matching the yellow around, I think, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, mine is really good. The one that I got up here in Brisbane, I was able to choose from a few, and there were a couple that I didn't think any of them were terrible, but there were a couple where the lines of her mask I didn't feel were quite as well painted. But then the one that I just randomly got from All Star was fine as well. Like you said, a little bit of a issue with the yellow cuffs there as well, but no kind of dots or drips on mine. I hadn't really noticed the eyebrow color choice, but now that you have mentioned it, it is quite a different and much brighter orange than her hair, and now it's bothering me.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of a secondary school teacher I had that used to just paint her eyebrows on. It's got very much that bit of a look to it, but yeah.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, I actually, to their credit, though, I do like her eyeshadow makeup that she's got on. That could be a bit risky with sort of the way kind of lightly lay it on there, but it's, it comes off quite nicely in the end.
Now, I really love the articulation of these figures. I think that they've done a really good job of incorporating the articulation that we loved in DC Universe Classics into these smaller bucks. But obviously, these are not there's not mountains of reuse that we're seeing yet in this line, particularly in the females, because we haven't seen that many. So they're benefiting from obviously a larger tooling budget. So we're getting a lot more custom sculpting, and certainly when we get to talking about Grail, we see that. But these are, I think, they stand really nicely. This Batgirl stands much more sturdily than the other females that we've had so far, Harley and Atomica, which I find Atomica in particular is always falling over. this, I think, is just a really, really lovely figure.
Yeah, the only thing with articulation, and we've said this time and time again, is just some sort of upper thigh cut would have been nice to have, particularly on this figure for riding
a
bike. But, we've sort of covered that with previous figures in this wave.
Yep. So the motorbike is I found this a little bit difficult to kind of get my wheels to snap into the base properly. Once I did, like it's relatively sturdy. But gosh, it's beautifully done.
It's wonderful. This is just like we're talking about the paintwork on the figure, but the paintwork on the bike, just little touches there in the engine that has, you know, like a black wash over it and some nice brass painting going on different sides. There's even sort of like a little dent in one part of the engine side there, which makes it seem a little bit lived in. It's just a beautiful piece.
Beautiful. And it comes with the ability to pose Batgirl on it with her swap out head and cape, which I found the head super easy to put on, cape relatively easy to swap around. What I didn't find so easy was getting a pose where she was able to hold on to the bike and not look like she was like leaning so far forward that it didn't look natural.
Yeah, so I actually went with more of a leaning forward look to the bike. I think it's got a bit of a backrest to it, and I think that's more for a secondary rider than a first-person rider on this type of bike.
Okay.
That's just the way I chose to run with her and pose, but it wasn't easy. I think for me it was those not having those upper thigh swivels just didn't help in getting her on. So I more had trouble with her kind of looking like she was floating a bit in a way you wouldn't sort of put your legs on a engine that was running like that. You'd be quite sore by the end of the ride. But with some fiddling, I sort of got some poses that I liked.
Hmm. So with the head sculpt that you can swap out, her hair is obviously kind of blowing in the wind. But I think that actually kind of accentuates that kind of feeling of, this pose doesn't quite look right, because it ends up kind of sticking up in the air, same as the cape as well. And that's the kind of issue that I was having. But I have actually seen some poses where I think the elbows are a bit more bent than what I had, or turned out a bit. And so I probably need to have another go at that. But I, at the moment, if I'd be more inclined to display her kind of standing alongside the bike than on it, just because, not sold.
What I ended up doing, and we've sort of actually haven't touched on this, but the base itself that the bike goes on is articulated in a weird way, where it has these cloudbursts of dust on a bitumen road, and the cloudbursts are where you sort of put the bike in to make it look like it's sort of kicking up dust from the road.
Can you translate bitumen for our American friends?
It's concrete, like road.
Yeah, oh, no, it's like bitumen, it's like the asphalt.
Asphalt, yeah.
Yeah, asphalt.
Of a road. And so those little dirt kick-up clouds are poseable. They can move sort of left and right and sort of swivel. So you can get the bike in sort of leaning poses as if she's going around the corner. And what I tended to do was leaving her with more the droopy hair, but turning her head and making it look like she was almost going around the corner, and that hair was drooping down a bit to the side while her cape was kicking up.
Yeah, I think I need to try that.
Best pose. Yeah,
I think I need to try that, because I think it's actually the sticky outy hair that makes her look weird. It's so fun. I really want to, I want to have her on the bike on display, but it's got to look not, because I think that the figure on its own with the kind of normal head and cape is absolutely brilliant, and I don't want to lose that. So maybe I need to just try that on the bike and see what it looks like rather than do the swap out thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love the hair coming down the side, because that's straight off the first cover of the beginning of the Batgirl of Burnside run, which is where the smartphone actually comes into it. Is that the cover is her taking a selfie in a mirror. And I was actually a little bit like, oh, they've got the wrong hand for a phone when I was looking at it, like, oh, that's a shame. They've done it the wrong way around, until I realized the cover is her in a mirror, so it would be reversed. So they actually got the right hand in it. Just when there we see is. The image, it's yeah. So I was like, oh, that's actually they've really put clever. Thought into it. Yeah,
they have. Yep. I mean, the one of the kind of things about the icons is that they are meant to be capturing a character from a specific storyline or comic, and which I think is really clever, because then you get those nods to, if you really know the source material, you get those nods to it. But it also then gives them a kind of license to go back and do the popular characters, but do them with different interpretations and that sort of thing, which, is fine. Cool. So anything else about Batgirl before we talk about the big guy and...
No, I think that's the only thing we haven't really talked about, the grappling hook, but that's just kind of a grappling hook. It's, classic Batman staple. But let's move on to the big guy himself.
And he is big.
Oh, yeah. He's a god. He's a god after all.
Yes. So I feel obliged, even though Ben's not here, to insert the Kirby never drew Darkseid big and why do people make him big now and blah, 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 that he would say. So there you go. I've done my duty to classic comic fans and Jack Kirby fans everywhere. But now he's big. Get over it.
Yeah. And that actually, to get very comic book nerdy, it goes back to John Byrne, who wrote a story that the boom tubes are actually change people's size. So when Superman's on Apocalypse, he's actually been enlarged if he went through a boom tube. But if the new gods were to travel to Earth, they'd be big like gods. And it just got very confusing there. And I think that's where bit of the base came from. But I actually don't mind him being big. He is meant to be a big god imposing figure, and he's not ridiculously huge, but he is big.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care. Like, I think that it's an interpretation. It's a toy, and I think that it's definitely really effective here. It's interesting, I think, if you had the New 52 Dark Side from DC Collectibles to compare, because these are quite different figures, even though, you know, on one level it's, you know, kind of similar era, I guess. But that is a much wider, stockier figure than this one. This one's got a lot more articulation.
Yeah, so I have heard this one referred to as the Jim Lee Dark Side, but that's technically not correct from a comic book point of view. The original figure was based on the Jim Lee design, whereas this design is based off an artist, Jason Fabok, who I actually think is the best artist working at DC currently. And I'm a big Geoff Johns fan, but he was actually the reason I stuck with Justice League towards the end, was his beautiful art.
Okay.
And this is his interpretation of the Jim Lee design. So he has different shoulder pads that have a more U design. He got rid of a lot of the black in the outfit and a lot of the weird lines that Jim Lee had on, and sort of kept some elements of the Jim Lee, but brought it closer to being that one sort of coloured suit throughout, which and sort of made the weird Omega symbols on his legs actually just ends of the boots bit, which is much better.
This figure has something which I think is like part awesome, part hilarious, which is articulated shoulder pads.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of these.
Why is that, Eddie?
Well, I might have sent you a text message because I had mine on Christmas morning, and the very first thing I did was like, oh, this guy has articulated shoulder crack. And like within seconds of having him out of the packet, I broke his right shoulder pad clean off. Now, luckily, it does seem like they just didn't apply enough glue on the inside piece, and it is just a plug. So I recently re-glued it, and it seems to be working perfectly fine. And I'm now just more worried about the other shoulder than the one that I broke, because the one I broke is now solidly glued in. So that did annoy me for a couple of days, but now that I've got it fixed, I wouldn't even notice it. So I'm happy again with him. And it was like almost getting a new toy because I'd broken him. I was sort of handling him, walking around eggshells on him, whereas now he's glued in and in solid. I've been bending him and posing him. And he's actually got quite a range of movement up on his sort of pec swivel area there.
He can pec swivel.
Lean right back a fair bit.
Well, I was super careful because I opened mine after your cautionary tale, and so I was super careful with my shoulder pads. I didn't want to do anything bad to them. But the articulation on this for the size, I think, is really impressive. And the fact that like he is really sturdy. He is hard to topple. I don't particularly like the design. I think it's kind of really overblown and definitely not my Dark Side. For the line, I think it's a interesting, like it's a really cool addition. He comes with packaged with fists, but then comes with swap out hands that he can hold things like smaller action figures. So cue the million pictures of him holding Superman and by the neck, which is all very cool. Paint on mine's really good.
Yeah, mine is fairly good for the most part. I have a couple of little scratches, like I've got a blue scratch on his left shoulder and a little bit of slop on the back of the gold of sort of his helm there, for lack of a better word.
Okay.
But most of that's on his actual back, so when you're looking at him on the front, there's nothing there, which is the main way I'm going to have him on my shelf. So
fair enough.
Not anything disastrous.
Yeah, fair enough. And it comes with a very interesting little pack-in.
Yeah.
Which is officially one of the coolest action figures of a character that I know nothing about.
So this is Grail, and it's actually a daddy-daughter two-pack. So this is Darkseid's daughter with, I believe her name was Marnia, who was an Amazon. And she was born on the same day that Wonder Woman was born. So she's half Amazon, half New God, and is the goddess of the anti-life equation. And, yeah, she's just kind of a cool kick-butt female Darkseid cross Wonder Woman. And that, I'm sort of not doing her enough justice here. That kind of throws a bit of mash together. But I do actually recommend, there's not a lot of New 52 I would recommend to people, but the Darkseid War from which these figures are based, I do actually recommend checking out in trade paperback. And that's where this character comes from, and they go into her story and the part that she plays there. So I do recommend checking it out if you like her design, which is another Jason Fabok one, and it is wonderful. It is very much that sort of Darkseid costume meets Wonder Woman in the sort of corsets and that Darkseid color and lining.
So there's a few things that struck me as I was kind of opening this figure and looking at it. One was that you put her side by side by Batgirl, and this is a different size. It's a larger female figure. They're not the same, which, you know, height, which I think is great. And I think we knew, like, they've shown us some side by sides of Batgirl with the Wonder Woman that was coming out, and so we knew that she was going to be smaller. But I think that bodes well for the line, that, you know, it's not all female figures are going to be the same height, but that there's kind of differences there. Another thing I noticed was that she has got the thigh swivel, which I'll be really interested now to see if Wonder Woman comes with the thigh swivel, because certainly the pictures that I have seen of the Wonder Woman figure that's coming out soon, I think, do not show her with a thigh swivel. So I'll be really interested to see whether or not that actually does get added in, because I would assume that she's going to be this buck, I guess, if there is such a thing in Icons. And then there's another thing that struck me, which was hearing Scott like talk over and over about how expensive tooling is and blah, 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 and thinking, like, this is, I don't see mountains of reusable sculpting here. There's a lot of stuff I'm looking at and thinking, I think they've done this for her. I can't see them using that head, for example, again, because she's got a very, distinctive hairstyle.
Well, DC collectibles in general don't seem to do a lot of buck reuse. Now, I have heard sort of some different reasoning behind this. Apparently, they take a bit more of a loss on figures than most action figure companies do. It's almost viewed as a marketing cost in a way. And the other thing is because they have their own distribution network set up through DC themselves and just run through previews, apparently that helps them recoup some costs that other action figure companies have to deal with. So I don't know how much of that's just sort of speculation I've heard over the years or that, but generally most of their lines, like the Batman Animated or the Capullo designer series or anything like that, you don't see you see it from time to time, like the Justice League 7-pack that's coming out soon is going to have a fair bit of buck reuse, but for the most part they're generally new sculpts, which is great. I think this is one of the big selling points of this line, is you're always seeing pretty much new bucks and some really wonderful designs going on. But I feel bad. I've complained about the thigh swivel, and I've actually played with this figure and moved that thigh around and never put the two together that she actually had it, and that was different. Yeah, so hopefully that's a sign of things to come.
Yeah, like I said, I'm really hoping that Wonder Woman has it, it'll be interesting to see. But like I said, this is, I think, just a fantastic figure. The detail on this, the articulation, the posability. One thing I did notice on her, though, that kind of surprised slash worried me a bit, is that she's got a foot that is like a, you know, heeled boot, and it doesn't actually have peg holes in it. And so, you know, if you are a figure stand fan, etc., and when she's got a scythe, how do you say that? Scythe?
Yeah, scythe. Giant scythe.
Scythe.
Yeah.
I'm asking Eddie for pronunciation.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
By the way, I'm just going off. I think there's a Pokemon called Scyther. So you're getting your English lesson from someone who's from a Japanese cartoon that's been redubbed.
I love you, man. That is awesome. Anyway, so when she's got that weapon, she is – you can still poseable, but if you wanted to do anything particularly athletic or whatever, you'd probably want to use a figure stand, and she does not have peg holes in her feet. So paint on this, not perfect for me. I've got some smudgy bits between the blue and the gray.
Yeah, I got a little bit on the face, and some of the yellow in the leg doesn't necessarily match other yellow parts. But for the most part, she's actually got a fair bit of paint on, with being studs on her
awesome.
Arm and belts and straps and necklace collar. And then she also comes with, which is cool, sort of a poncho that you can put over her, which she did wear in the story. But I think it's kind of a shame piece, because you don't want to cover this figure up.
Well, that's right. I popped it on, and then I was like, well, it's a little bit awkward sitting, and why would you cover up that great work?
Yeah. So it's nice to have it, but yeah, I don't imagine too many people will be displaying with it.
No. This is brilliant. Like, for something that I absolutely did not care about at all, and I wouldn't – like, I look at this and go, wow, this is really cool, and it almost makes me interested in the character.
Yeah, well, next time you're stuck at an airport, get out the iPad, download that story. It's one of the few I recommend.
Yeah.
Good.
And this is just a beautiful, beautiful toy. She's so possible, very dramatic, you know, her head sculpt. But I'm just playing with it now. The posability of these figures is fantastic.
This is one of those figures where you're like, okay, I'm excited about this line. When's the next lot coming out? Like that Liam Sharp Wonder Woman that's coming in that Justice League 7-pack, I am very excited for, based off the work they've done on this figure. Yeah. And yeah, I'm very, very much looking forward to seeing. I think there's a Static Shock and Swamp Thing and a few other things due out soon. So
Blue Beetle, Booster Gold. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That should be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say we have Blue Beetle, but you mean the Ted Cord one.
Yeah, Ted Cord one. Yeah.
Yep.
Proper Blue Beetle.
Yep.
Very cool. Well, that's the DC Icons chat. I'm sure we'll be reconvening this when that next lot of single figures comes out. But I think we will anything that we missed from these guys?
No, I think we pretty much covered – I mean, we sort of glanced over, but obviously Grail comes with extra hands, like fist open.
Yeah. Yep.
But that's kind of standard with these Icon guys. Now, great to have, but yeah, nothing much to report there above the usual.
Very good. Well, we will take a short break, and we'll come back to talk about Deadpool.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. I hope you appreciate, Keller, that everything that happens from this point is on your head. The skies will rain fire, the oceans will boil, the streets will run red with the blood of billions. Only then, after your last pitiful hope is extinguished, will I end your life. Let's go.
Well, moshy moshy guys, we are back, and we are going to be talking about probably one of the hardest to describe named action figures we have ever done.
That wasn't by Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to be clear.
Yeah. So
from, if I was just to read down on the packaging, it is, its full name is Figure Complex Amazing Yamaguchi Powered by Revoltech Series Number 001 Deadpool, sculpted by Yamaguchi Katashija, by also including Kyodyu and Canalephant.
So, what?
So, when you're typing in your Amazon search for this figure, you've got a couple of different bases.
You've got some options, that's right.
Yeah.
The Western interpretation is Revoltech Deadpool. Yeah.
That seems to be the common name for him. And this guy came out fast. Like, it actually felt like only 2 months ago we were talking about him in a news segment that he was actually coming out. And then before you knew it, he sort of hit just before Christmas there and people started getting him in hand. And it's a very busy box. The box has a lot of comic book images of Deadpool on it, a lot of images of the figure, a lot of Japanese kanji that, even though I did Japanese for years, I would not be able to read to you at all. I know the symbol that my name begins with. That's about it there. But a very cool box design. And probably my favorite thing on the box design is when you actually open up the flaps on the side, the little side nub flaps actually have speech bubbles that you can cut out for your figure, which is very cool. So very
clever.
One side has "Here Comes Deadpool." Oh, is that a mall? And then I've got my other side glued up. I can't quite see. He's got some other Deadpoolish lines that you can put through. So it was nice little touches like that. I'm always happy to see thrown in, and plus some Jeff Darrow art there from Deadpool number one by Jerry Duggan behind, which is a great image through there. So very cool box design. And then the figure himself is fairly crazy. So he's pretty much Marvel Legends height, would you say? I've compared him to a few. Yeah. He seems to pretty much spot in that Marvel Legends scale, 6-inch. Now, this is my very first Revoltech figure that I've ever gotten. And I've heard people talk about he's got Revoltech joints, so that's like a Revoltech joint. And I don't think I've ever comprehended what that actually meant till getting this figure out of the box and posing him around. And you had a bit of a similar experience?
I don't like it. I actually ordered this because I was going to give it to someone as a gift and probably should have said to them, don't buy this, and they bought it. And so I don't know that I am going to keep this. So I actually haven't unpacked any of the extras, because as soon as I got it out of the box and lifted the arms, I was like, what the heck is this? The arm joints are just the weirdest thing I've ever seen on a toy. Seriously.
So for those who haven't seen images of him, and even if you have seen images, they can be misleading because people will probably photograph around them. But he basically has two ball joints in his shoulder, and they've even got a bit of a gap between them, like a bit of a bone. And it is very weird. You can't really pose him in a natural manner. You sort of got to readjust the arm. It's almost like the joints that Darkseid has in his shoulder pads they've decided to go with
for like a shoulder joint. Did I mention I don't like it?
Yeah, you did.
I don't like it.
I got to be honest, I didn't like it at first either. I was actually very disappointed once I saw how big of a gap he has. I have come around to not minding them. I've sort of realized this isn't really a toy that you pick up and play with as much as one you get in a pose that you like and sort of display it there. But I have come around to it. It might be more Stockholm syndrome than
That's hilarious, because that's just what I was about to say to you.
I will admit there will always be a bias here with me and Deadpool, but I have been changing my poses around with him every day, and the more I sort of pose him, the more I like him. And I'm actually starting to get excited for the Spider-Man now, because that's going to be a character that definitely
will have a great opportunity to pose. But accessory-wise, he comes with a bunch of stuff. So you've got his katana holster on the back that has the Deadpool symbol on the middle of it. He's got fake katanas that go in the top, so it's just the handle of it. But then you also have the two katana swords in their full glory, which are actually slightly longer than the katana holsters you'd put on his back. He's got multiple hands, so he's got thumbs up, he's got closed fist, he's got grasping hands, and he's got holding hands that you can put either the guns or katanas in. He's got a little sort of splash foot energy effect. He's got two different heads, one that has an open mouth and one that has a closed mouth. And he comes with multiple eyes. So he's got sort of shocked eyes, squinty eyes, one sort of little closed dash eyes, two regular eyes, and probably the most used on Instagram, which is the love heart eyes, showing that he's loving things. And he also has a little stick that you can use to pop the eyes out of the head and swap over with the new ones, and sort of reminds me very much of a figure arts stand that plugs either into the back of his belt or there's three holes on his top gun holster, so you can move either the katana holder around into any of those three and then plug the stand into any of them or mix and match that way depending on what you want to use for the pose. And I don't know if it counts as an accessory or not, but he's also got a piece that goes around the back of his neck, so when you swap his head out and pose it with your articulation, it covers sort of a gap that would form there. But it's kind of more part of the figure that comes off than an accessory.
Yeah. I think that the accessories are great. I think that the swap out hands are great. It's all really nicely packaged, very collector friendly, really nice tray, etc. I think that, you know, the thing that interested me about this when we were talking about it was the start of a new line, and, you know, I thought, oh, Revoltech, it's going to be really good, whatever. But obviously you've got to like the aesthetic to want to collect it, and it is a particular aesthetic. And as soon as I opened it, I was like, oh, this is not for me.
Now, I do actually find these joints quite weird because they're basically – ball joints all over the body, in the knees, in the elbows, in the wrists, even in the belt. The belt is ball articulated towards the back, so he can pose the pouches on his belt, or his shin guards that come off his boot are articulated. It's just crazy the amount of things that have these articulation points, and they're all removable. You can take any piece of his body out or extend different pieces to make the articulation sort of fit better and wrap around things. And it's a very odd design that you sort of have to work to get a pose that will hide those ball joints.
And which definitely people can do, because there's some great photography of this figure, which made me more excited for it. Mm. And it's just that, like, you know, for me, not being – you know, it's not my cup of tea, because that's not who I am as a collector. But I can definitely see the appeal of it from people that love photographing and doing figure stands and funky poses and, you know, that sort of thing. And there's some great things that they've managed to do with it.
Yeah. Now, I do have another disappointment with the figure, which is he has a knife and guns in holsters on his body, which are non-removable. They're just sculpted plastic. It would have been nice to have them be pieces you could slide in and out.
Yes.
And also, I think it's on everyone's, but the pouches on his – would be his right side as you're looking at him are upside down on mine except for the end one. And I think this is just the way they're sculpted, but it's just a weird choice to make. Mm.
Yeah, no, I can hear that. That's interesting. Mm. Yeah. I don't like it.
And the other it's all right. The other disappointing thing for me is that I actually came with two regular right side squinty eyes. but only one of the right side of the dash eye. So I'm missing one of the dash eyes, which is a bit of a shame. And I have heard of a couple of people having this issue of getting different eyes rather than the ones they're meant to, which is a bit of a shame if that's a line running quality control issue. But for the most part, I actually do really like this guy. I've been posing him around, and he's been a great one to just have on a desk and pick up and play with while you're watching TV or doing certain things around the house. So I am liking him on that side, and he does fit in well with Marvel Legends. So if we get any figures that Marvel Legends hasn't touched or costume design that they haven't touched, it could fit quite easily into someone's collection there. But I am going to be interested in the figures that they do down the line and which ones are going to be coming out, because Deadpool sort of suits this style, but I don't know.
Spider-Man will too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spider-Man will suit this as well in terms of the kind of posing and stuff that people want to do with it. I think that will work really well. But I can't, you know, something like a Captain America or whatever, I can't see working.
Yeah. So it's I'll be interested to see what they do. I don't know if I'm all in on this line, but if they keep doing my favorite characters, I'm definitely going to pick up the Spider-Man and probably the Venom, because that's the first villain. But I will be eager to see what they do down the line. I think part of the other thing that sort of hinders this guy a little bit for me too is he's coming out in sort of a peak time for Deadpool figures. We've just had the Hot Toys come out that has the similar sort of swapping the eye feature, and we've got the NECA 1/4 hitting, which is just an absolutely amazing sculpt coming out on that guy. I think that comes out this week. It hits stores, so definitely a good time to be a Deadpool collector. I'm at least happy in the amount of quantity of Deadpool figures I'm getting, and I am, as I said, I come with a bias, but I am happy with this guy as well for the most part. But definitely buy beware in terms of the articulation. Maybe jump on YouTube, watch a video of someone posing him around or that first before you purchase, just so you know what to expect.
Indeed.
Hmm.
Cool, that was really fun. Thanks for catching up with me. We did have one tweet from about last week's episode I wanted to read out, and this is from the Ginger Prince on Twitter, and he said, quality Star Wars 6-inch Black Series reviewing on this week's Action Figure Blues podcast from Eddie. Yay! Well done. And Eddie.
And
Ben.
Yeah, it was from Ben as well, but Ben's not on Twitter, so he couldn't be tagged. But
couldn't be added. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ginger Prince, or Steve as his superhero name is. He's a great, great man and another great podcaster. So I was very touched to have another action figure expert give us that praise. So very moving. Thank you, man.
Awesome. And we will be back. We don't seem to be able to stop.
No. So.
Ben and I have got a date soon to do a Sideshow Premium format Palooza because we're getting a whole bunch but different ones. So I've got Darkseid and Supergirl both up and running, and he's got a couple of Marvel ones arriving that I'm not getting, and so we'll get together soon and do that. And when we get something else together, we'll be back with that as well.
Yay. Very cool. I saw that Dark Side recently. That's good.
Yeah, I didn't pre-order that because I wasn't sold until I saw it. And then I was so glad that I didn't pre-order it because right before Christmas, all the Australian online retailers had like discounty, sale-y things. You're making terrible noises. What are you doing?
I'm sorry. I was packing up my accessories. I'm sorry.
Jeez, dude. Anyway.
I thought we were finished recording. I thought this
was... No, this is... Oh, well, oh. I thought this was still relevant.
Hello, listeners. How are we doing?
So I had him in my cart at one of the Australian retailers at a really great discounted price, and then for whatever reason didn't check out. And then in the meantime, another one had a sale, and it was even a better price. And so I got him for still like a silly amount of money for what you have to pay for the premium formats in Australia, but nowhere near what I would have had to pay if I actually got him from Sideshow. And he's really impressive. And I got the Supergirl last weekend, which is one that we were a bit worried about with just the sculpt and head sculpt and that sort of thing, but they did some improvements on it, and I really like it. And I even got the Mrs. Scotty stamp of I don't hate this very much. Yeah. Not the stamp of approval, because she hates them all. But, you know, as opposed to Power Girl, where every time she's, you know, she's like, oh, that one with the boobs, she didn't mind Supergirl so much.
Yeah. Very nice.
Okay, now we're done.
Now we're done. Okay.
Say goodbye, Eddie.
Bye. Good journey.
Bye. Good night, nerds. The Action Figure Blues podcast can be found on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and can be downloaded direct from actionfigureblues.com. Wherever you listen, please take a moment to leave a positive rating and review to help others find our show. We also have an active fan forum at afbforum.com, where you can join with all the hosts of the podcast and many other collectors to discuss news, reviews, old lines, and trade and sell in a safe community. Please join us there. While you're at actionfigureblues.com, don't forget to check out our sponsors like Mike's Comics and Stuff, The Pop Culture Superstore, Bam Kapow, and Davy Boy's Toys. You can find us on Twitter at AFBlues, on Instagram at actionfigureblues, and on Facebook at facebook.com/actionfigureblues. Thanks for listening.
What do you say after the mission we kill all those floating babies?
Do you ever shut up, Wilson?
What? Babies creep me out. Goodbye.
Bye.